Exodus number 14. Is that what I said the first time?
Yes. Amen.
Making sure. Exodus 14. I want to begin reading at verse number 23. Certainly desire your prayers this day. Exodus 14 and verse 23, it says this, "And the children of Israel," that's verse 22. How about 23? I'll get it one day.
Bless you, Pastor.
"And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said," now I like this, "let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Aren't you glad to know that we've got the God of heaven that will fight our battles for us?
Amen.
My goodness, you think about that. That's worth shouting about, ain't it?
Amen.
Notice this. Verse 26, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Now, look in verse number 1 of chapter 15. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horseman and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Now flip over a page, or maybe it's on the same page, but look in verse number 20 of chapter 15. It says, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horseman and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." You may be seated. Father, we're thankful once again to call upon your precious name. We're thankful, Lord, for what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've felt. But more important than that, Lord, what we know down in the depths of our heart. We're thankful to know that our sins have been forgiven. Thankful to know that my name is written in heaven. God, we're thankful to know that we can have a relationship with the God of heaven. Thankful, Lord, for this service you've allowed us to be a part of. Thankful for the teaching and the singing, the testimonies. Lord, it's just truly been wonderful. We can leave just now and say that we've met with the Lord. God, I pray that you'd use us. God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, that you'd take this stammering tongue of mine, and God, that you'd help us to preach in your spirit just for a few moments. God, if there's one here that has a need, Father, I pray that you'd meet them right where they're at. God, that you'd meet them at their need. Father, if there's one here that's backslidden, Lord, we pray that you'd reclaim them. God, if there's one here that does not have a relationship with you, God, I pray that you would introduce yourself to them this morning. God, that they would get to know you on a personal level. God, through and by this, that you would be glorified, you would be honored, and you would be praised. God, we truly love you. Truly thank you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's several things I want you to notice from these several verses that we read to you this morning in your hearing. But we see that there you can see in the first part of chapter number 15, that verse that we read there, verse number 1, you'll see that Moses is singing. And then you'll look down a little bit farther and you'll see that all of Israel is singing. And we see that Miriam dances. And I believe that all the women begin to dance with her, the Bible says. But, and I thought about that. I'm glad to know. And I believe that Would you agree with me that they were worshiping the Lord? Hey, I believe that they could look and see what God had done in their life, and they begin to thank Him, begin to praise Him, begin to lift Him up and glorify Him. And you know what? I'm glad to know today here at Union Valley that worshiping the Lord is in order. I'm glad to know that we don't go to a dead church. Listen, if you go out here somewhere to a dead church and they frown on you worshiping the Lord, you're going to the wrong place. I believe we need to find ourselves in a worship state of mind every day, not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Sunday evenings, not just on Wednesday. Hey, but I'm telling you what, we serve the God. He's worthy of your worship every minute, every day, every hour of every day. He's worthy of your worship and your praise. And I'm glad to know that we can do that right here. Glad to know that we don't live in a country where we're... Now listen, I believe the way this world is going, it won't be long. We're liable to be persecuted and prosecuted for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it. I believe we're not far out from that. But I'm glad to know right now, I can lift my hands, I can shout praise the Lord, I can glorify. Hey, I'm glad to know that for myself today. But I want you to notice this. There are several things I want you to notice, but I want to preach on this thought the next few moments, if the Lord will allow and the Lord will help. I want to preach on this. It's simply this: drowning your past.
Amen.
Drowning your past. I want you to think about that. Now, I'm convinced of this one thing, that every one of us under the sound of my voice has a past.
Amen.
I'm sure about that.
Right.
You've got a past.
Right.
Now, I know this. I know that I do know this as well, that someday in the future, that every one of us is going to die. This body that we live in, this flesh here that we live in, it's going to go back to the ground. And I believe this, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die..." Hey, every one of us is going to face death one time, sometime or another. And I thought about this. Now, there are three phases of life. There's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. And I know this. I know that if you were to combine the burdens of all three, you think about that. If you were to combine the burdens of the past, and if you were to combine the burdens that you carry right now, and if you were to combine the burdens of the future, there's not a one of us that can handle it. You think about that.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm convinced today that there are people under the sound of my voice, whether you're here in the tent, whether you're sitting in the parking lot, whether you're watching on Facebook this hour, I'm convinced that there are people all across this land that are burdened in the present. And I'm convinced of this as well, that although they're carrying burdens right now in the present, they're hooked up on things in the past as well. Amen. They're dwelling on things in the past as well. And let me just say this. I believe that we cannot find joy in our life in the present if we're holding on to things of the past.
Yeah. Amen.
You think about that. In order for us to have a hope in the future, a hope of joy and peace in the future, you know what we've got to do? We've got to drown our past. We've got to get rid of our past. We've got to get rid of the old man and become new in Christ Jesus.
Man.
What do you think about that? Drowning your past. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this miracle that we read here in Exodus chapter 14. And you think about the miracle of the children of Israel passing over that through that Red Sea on dry land. Now, I understand that it was estimated it was somewhere around 12 miles wide. I heard it's been estimated that it was somewhere around 60 foot deep, the waters there in the Red Sea. You think about that. You think the miracle that God performed there in those people's lives, and how that He separated the water. And I believe that there was a wall of water on the right hand, there was a wall of water on the left hand, and I believe it was Sarah that mentioned it there just a few moments ago, that those people passed on dry shod, the Bible says. Hey, I don't believe that their feet got muddy, I don't believe that they got wet, I don't believe that there wasn't even a mist coming up. I believe when they got to the banks of the other side, they were dry, I believe that.
Amen.
There wasn't a speck of mud on one of them.
And I've heard it said like this, that I believe we might have had to slow down a little bit and let the dust settle.
Yeah.
You think about it. Now, you think, how many of you ever seen an old pond or a sludge? You know, I've seen a few sludge ponds. There used to be water in them. The water's dried up, and my goodness, they'll be mucking that thing 5 or 6 foot deep that you couldn't get through. And I thought about, you know, you think about this. You think that I believe that God allowed them to pass on dry land,
yeah,
so that they wouldn't get bogged down,
yeah,
so they wouldn't be hindered down of what they used to be,
yeah,
in hopes that they can be what God intended for them, yeah, to be in the future.
Amen.
Hey, let's not get bogged down. Let's not get burdened down of what our past used to be. But let's stay focused on what God has for us in drowning our past. My goodness, every one of us has got a past. And I'm convinced of this, that every one of us is... There's, let me just ask you this. How many of you has ever made a mistake? I hope the preacher's not the only one. Boy, I'm feeling awful lonely up here. But you think about, I'm convinced and no doubt that we've all got past mistakes. We've all got past failures. We've all got things in our past that we get hung up on at times. But I want to try to convince you today to lay those down.
Amen.
Bury them. Drown them out. And let's move on in the future.
Amen.
Now, you ever heard the saying, I wished I knew then what I know now?
Yeah.
In other words, looking back and seeing, boy, I wished I'd have known not to have done that.
Yeah.
Wished I would have knew not to say that. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
My goodness, you think. And I thought about this. You know, I'm convinced that every one of us has got regrets in our past.
Yeah.
No doubt we can look back and see something that we've messed up in, we've failed in. You know, maybe you're here today and you can look back and see where you didn't have the greatest relationship with your parents. But maybe you cussed your parents. Oh boy, you think about that. And now today you're looking back and you're regretting. Maybe you can look back and see a past relationship that you knew you shouldn't have got in. And now you're looking back and sorrowfully you're wondering why that ever happened, wondering why that ever took place. But I want you to, and you think back, you can look back to the alcohol and the drugs, some of you. And I know your testimonies and heard your test and know what God has delivered you from, know what God has brought you from, but no doubt every one of us has got something that we look back to from time to time, and maybe we get caught up in it, maybe we get hung up on it, but I want you to drown that out today. Let's get rid of the past, and let's stay focused on what God has for us in the future.
Yeah.
Now, you think about this. It's impossible. Would you agree with me that it is impossible to look forward and backward at the same time? Boy, I wish I had eyes in the back of my head sometimes. But you think it's impossible for us to stay focused looking forward and looking backward at the same time. So in other words, if I'm looking back here to things in my past, I'm missing what God has out here in front of me.
Yeah.
And I believe He's got something for every one of us. I believe He's got, my goodness, the Bible says that half hadn't yet been told.
Yeah.
We need to stay focused on Him.
Lord.
I don't want to dwell on the things of my past and allow Satan to bring those things up and allow him to hinder my walk and the lifestyle that I want to live with Jesus. I don't want him to bring those things up and allow him to burden me down and bring me down in those things. But my goodness, you think. I thought about this in Philippians. I want to read this to you in Philippians chapter 3. A few verses here, verse 13 and 14. Notice what it says. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
Yeah.
But this one thing I do, and I like this,
yeah,
forgetting those things which are behind,
yeah,
and reaching forth unto those things which are before, yeah, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. You think about our past, and at times it'll allow us to get pulled down. It'll allow us to hinder our walk and our relationship with God. Drown out the past. I'm going somewhere with this. You bear with me.
Amen.
Drown out the past. Now, How are you dealing with your past? Now, we've done established. Every one of us has got a past. I'm convinced of it. If you're sitting here today, if you're listening, wherever, you've got a past, whether you realize it or not. You've got a past.
Yeah.
Now, I thought about this. You know, no doubt Israel had a past. And I believe that they looked back to their past, and I believe that it hindered them. I believe that I believe that there are people, and no doubt, I believe for a period of over 400 years, no doubt the Israelites, they struggled every day because of their past. And you think about when those, I believe it was probably 10 of those boys that sold their brother. Remember, they sold him and he ended up down in Egypt. Was it Joseph? The 10 sold their brothers and he ended up down in Egypt. And I believe because of that, because of their sin, and how Joseph spared that great family, and they brought them down to Egypt from that time, you think, for over 400 years. Then they become in bondage. They become into slavery because of that, because of their sin and disobedience unto God. And now for over 400 years, they're struggling with their past every day. No doubt there's some of you that every day in your life, Satan brings, well, you remember this? You remember that? You remember when you done that? You remember when you said this? You remember when that happened? No doubt, there's some that struggle with your past mistakes and your past failures every day of your life. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of that. You know what? And I thought about this. And the longer that we hold on to those burdens, you know what? The heavier it gets.
Yeah.
You realize that?
Amen.
The harder it gets. And you think about these children of Israel. Did not Pharaoh burden or increase their burden? He told them to go get their own straw, mix their own mortar, because they were building the great things over there in Egypt, these children of Israel. And Pharaoh increased their task, if you will. The longer they were in slavery, and the longer they were in bondage, their tasks become increased and their burden become increased. And they were caught up in the things of the past. And every day of their life, I believe that they were burdened and they struggled with it. Now, you think about this. And I thought about, if you desire to hold on to your past and you desire to carry those things around, I thought about, you know, and that's up to you. You can come in here with a burden. You can come in here with a weight. And it's up to you. If you want to carry it back home and lug it around, that's totally up to you. But I recommend laying it up here. I recommend unburdening yourself and getting rid of the weight and getting rid of the past. Get rid of that burden that you may be carrying. I want you to know this tonight, or this morning. I want you to know this, that if you decide to carry that weight, I want to remind you of one that carried your sin debt. I want to remind you of one that carried your sin burden. And there he bore your sin up Calvary's mountain. And there he bore your burdens on the cross of Calvary. So you don't have to no longer. My goodness, you think about that. And you know, I thought about, there's some people that pay the ultimate price for their past. Do you ever think about that? Mm-hmm. Wake up every day of their life and worry about things that took place yesteryear. And because of that, they struggle. And because of that, maybe they take their own life. You know what? Suicide is real.
Amen.
And you may be surprised. The one that you may be sitting beside of right now, the one that you may be closest to and have no idea the thoughts that cross their mind.
Right.
It's real.
Amen.
And you know what? There's people every day, because of things that happen in their past, they can't get beyond it. And they'll take their own life. And my goodness, it breaks my heart and hurts to know. And I thought about this. You know, we can either carry it, we can either hold on to it and lug it around, or we can take the advice that Jesus gives. I want to read this in Matthew chapter 28, I believe it is. Matthew 11, I'm sorry, in verse 28. He said, I like this. These words in red. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, it's up to you.
Amen.
Whether you want to carry it, whether you want to be burdened down or hindered by that weight of that burden, by the things of your past, or we can lay it on Jesus and give it to Him and trust in Him. He said, cast all your care. You ever think about that? You know what the care is? It's the burdens that you hold. It is the problems that you face. It's things that you go through. It's things that you are concerned with, the cares of your life. The problems that we face in this life. Jesus said, cast all your care upon Him. You know why? Because He cares for you.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that.
Amen.
Convinced of that today. Now, you notice this. I want to move on. I want you to think about this. I believe in order for us to get past our past, if you will, or get to drown our past, I believe it's at times we have to go back and confront our past. You ever think about that? And I believe, you remember when God called Moses to go back down to the land of Egypt. He said, I want you to go down and bring my people out. Well, you remember why Moses was in Egypt to begin with. And you remember why Moses left Egypt? He fled Egypt because he slew an Egyptian. I believe that he watched as the Egyptian was being mean and maybe even murdered a Hebrew young man. And I believe that Moses stepped in and he himself murdered an Egyptian. And he feared for his life and he fled Egypt. And he found himself on the backside of the desert. And he was attending to Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep, there on the backside of the desert. And he was getting away from his past. But I believe that God called him out and God told him, said, you go back down to Egypt. Now you think about that. He was wanting to go back to where he had fled from. Go back to the place that he was trying to get away from, his past. And no doubt those things were on his mind, the things that he had done years ago, 40 years ago, I believe, in the past. And God called him to go back down there. You know what? Moses had every excuse why he couldn't go down. You remember that? He said, I stutter. I'm not adequate of speech. And he gave every excuse. And you know what? We can give every excuse.
Amen.
How many of you just give God an excuse?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
You think about it. Why we can't do this? Why we can't do that? Is God not able?
Amen.
Is God not more than able to take care of your problem and your inadequacies and cause you to do what He asked you to do? What do you think about it? And here Moses was trying to get out of going back and confronting his past and taking care. And you know what? I believe in order for us to have the victory, in order for us to overcome our past, we've got to go back every now and then and confront the things of our past and get rid of them and get rid of them out of our life. And you know what? But there's some people, they're satisfied with staying in the desert. You ever think about that? Satisfied with staying in that lonely, dry desert place. Not willing to confront their past and move on. Now I want you to think about this. If we're not careful, I believe that we'll allow ourselves to build walls concerning our past. You ever think about that? Well, if I just remove myself from this person, if I move to this place, or if I do this, or if I do that, it'll get my mind. But you know what? That's only a temporary fix. You ever think about that? It's not eliminating the problem. I believe we've got to drown out our past. We've got to get rid of our past, crucify it, sacrifice it, lay it down, and get rid of it. And I thought about, you know, if we're not careful, we'll allow these walls of separation, these walls of division, and walls of bitterness, and walls of anger to harbor up in our life, and walls of unforgiveness in our life. You think about it. Simply because of things that's happened in our past, and we're not willing to confront them. We're not willing to go back and get rid of those things and drown out the past. I thought about this. I want you to notice when Moses went down to Egypt, when God finally convinced him to go down, he was done, I guess, with his excuses, and God finally convinced him to go down. He went down to that place, and I believe the people knew. I believe they knew that the reason that Moses was there, that he was going to deliver them out of bondage. And you know, I don't read anywhere where that they were shouting. I don't read anywhere where they were praising. When Moses went down and announced what he was going to do, you know why? Because their past was still alive. You think about that. You know, it's possible today to be saved and lose your joy.
Sure.
It's possible today to be saved and not have joy in your life. It's possible today for you to love the Lord and not have joy and peace in your life simply because of the things that are in your past, simply because of things that we hold on to, because your past may still be alive. Now, but I want you to think about this. I believe that when these people started moving out, and I believe all the plagues, we know all the plagues, and we're not going to go through that, but we see that when Moses started leading those people out of the bondage there, out of slavery, and they were going across the desert, here they come to the Red Sea, and now they're in a pickle. They got the Red Sea in front of them, and they got the chariots and the horsemen that are bearing down on them, and we know that God allowed them, when God spoke to Moses and he raised his rod out over the sea. We know what happened there, the great miracle that took place when the waters were parted. And we know that the children of Israel walked across on dry land. But you think about when they got to the other side, when they got to the far banks of the Red Sea, they can look back and see their past coming in on them. You think about it. Here comes Egypt. Here comes the horsemen. Here comes Pharaoh's army. They're bearing down. It's their past. It's bearing down on them. And there's times that no doubt we look back. You look back and I look back and we see our past coming up in on us. We know that there's a storm coming because of our past. You know what we need to do? Drown your past.
Amen.
Get rid of your past. And I thought as those children of Israel, they look back, they can see the past that was bearing down on them. It was coming down on them. We know that God spoke to Moses, and he's standing there on the banks of the Red Sea, and God spoke to Moses, and he told him to raise his rod. And I believe that, could you imagine seeing? Now, you think about this first. I believe that God knocked all the wheels off of the chariot. You ever think about that? Is that not what your Bible says?
Yeah.
And here they come, and the church is bearing down on them, and I believe God was having a little bit of fun with them. Could you imagine driving one of those chariots? And now I understand that it's been estimated maybe somewhere around 600 horsemen, 600 men that were seeking after those Israelites. Could you imagine 1,200 chariot wheels just wandering everywhere across the desert? You think about that, what God done there that day. But then he spoke to Moses, and he told him to raise his rod. And as those chariots and those horsemen and those men were in the midst of the sea, could you imagine seeing that wall of water come in on top of them? And know that God, and now Israel can look and see that their past had been buried. Their past had drowned. You think about it. Drown out your past. No doubt that every one of us can look back and see something in our past that hinders us, that burdens us, that harms our walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you today to drown out your past. Drown out your past. Now, when it come down to it, and now Israel can look back and see that their past is no longer there. Their past has drowned. You know what? I want you to notice this. Miriam, the sister of Moses, she asked around, Surely somebody's got a temple. You think about this. No doubt they spotted one over there and said, here, I've got one, and they handed it to her. Notice what happens. Mary begins to dance, and she begins to sing. You know why? It's not because of who she was. It's not because of this thing made her perfect. It's not because that she was worthy to sing and dance and praise God for what He'd just done. But it's simply because this, her past was gone. You think about that. Her past was gone. And I thought about, as those other women began to look around and say, Mary, what are you dancing? What are you singing for? She began to say that my past is buried. I've been set free of my past. The past has drowned. And I thought about this. I thought about, you know, when she looked back and seen that her past was gone and her past was buried and who that she was gone. You think about this. My goodness, I thought about this and how I appreciate this. She could not go any step farther knowing that the past was bearing down on her. But once she saw that her past was gone, and maybe she thought that she looked back and she might have said, well, I know that I'm not what I'm supposed to be right now. I know that there's still steps to go. I know that I still got somewhere else to go. But she could look back and see that her past was gone. And my goodness, you think that she could say, I'm not what I used to be. Right. What do you think about that? Right. I know that I've got an increase. I know that I've got a little bit farther to go in this thing, but I can look back and know that I'm not what I used to be.
Right.
You know, I get to thinking about what God has said. You know, I may never know what God has delivered me from. May never know what God has saved me from. But I can look back to a time in my life when I know that I was lost, without hope, without Him in my life. And I know that I can look back and see a point in my life when He saved me. But I can say this, I'm not what I used to be. And thank God I can stand and say that I've been born again, that I've been blood-bought. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
How wonderful to know that today.
Amen.
My past has drowned. Got rid of the past. I'm going to ask these young ladies to come back to this pulpit, please. And Andrew, you come on back to the piano. You know, I can look back and see where God has taken absolutely nothing of my life. The emptiness, the brokenness, the voids, the hurt, the pain, the sin. He's taken absolutely nothing. And He's caused it to be something.
Amen.
It's not because of what I've done. It's not because of what I've said. It's not because of anything that you've done or mommy and daddy's done. But it's all because of what Jesus has done.
Amen.
And you know what we need to do? I believe sometimes we just need to carry our burdens to these altars and drown out our past. Sacrifice the past. Get rid of the past. Don't let your past failures and your past mistakes define who you are today. Because my goodness, we can look beyond those and know that God's got something better in the future. Know that God's got something better for us tomorrow. And I know this, I'm convinced of this for the believer. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
You know, as a believer today, I feel like I live a good life. How many of you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, there's things that I don't like, things that I don't care about in this life, but I honestly feel like God has given me a good life.
Amen.
And there's things, no doubt, as I already mentioned, we go back and change, we go back and do a little bit different, but I'll never have any regrets serving the Lord.
Amen.
Never have any regrets going back to August the 8th of 1988, when a little old 10-year-old boy knelt at a bell of straw and ask God to forgive me. You know what he did?
The Lord.
Yeah.
He forgave me.
Amen.
He saved me that day. I have no regrets of that. But I'm convinced of this. The best life that we can live today is not even comparable to what God has for us tomorrow.
Amen.
You think about it.